Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 2 of the NoSQL Database Podcast. My name is Nick Raboy and I'm going to be hosting this particular podcast episode. If you want to stay updated outside of this podcast on NoSQL and various development technologies, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @nraboy. So of course it's my first initial and then my last name. In the previous episode, I had several guests on the line where we talked about how NoSQL is used nowadays and how it really compares to that of a relational database or just other NoSQL databases in general. So we did a comparison between everything that really existed. This time around, I actually have a user of NoSQL, so an actual company that uses NoSQL in their everyday activities. This company is called Safety Culture, and I actually have a guy whose name is Brett Porter, who is the head of architecture at this company. The goal here is to give you insight on how actual companies are using NoSQL in day-to-day operations. So what kind of databases they're using, what's their logic behind choosing NoSQL rather than a relational database, or just overall how it fits into their organizational structure. With that said, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, I'm with Brett Porter, who is the head of architecture over at Safety Culture. So if you tuned into the last podcast episode, you know that we gave an overview on sort of what NoSQL is and why you might use it. But this time around, we're actually looking at a company that is actually making good use of NoSQL in their business. So what I want to do is I first want to go ahead and let Brett introduce himself and talk about what he does, maybe personally, or what he does over at Safety Culture and what exactly Safety Culture is and does.
Hi, it's great to be able to join you. So my role as the head of architecture at Safety Culture is to be responsible for working with our technical leads to shape the architecture that's used by our apps and our platform, and to work through the quality and operations of the software, which includes things like our NoSQL database. In addition to my day job, I'm an open source software developer, so I've been involved in the Apache Maven project for a number of years, and also the Apache Software Foundation, where I'm currently on the board of directors.
So would you say you're a Java developer, or do you do other technologies as well?
I've come around to a number of different technologies. So I started out as a Java developer, but in recent times I've been working with other languages like Ruby and now in JavaScript and Node.js.
Awesome. So when it comes to Safety Culture, where are you guys based? Where are you headquartered at?
Right, so we're an Australian company. It was actually originally founded in Townsville, which is in the north of Queensland. And about 18 months ago, we set up our Sydney office, which is where I'm based now. And we've started to expand our presence with offices in the US.
Awesome. How many offices do you have in the US?
So the main one we've got in Kansas at the moment, but we're just about to set up another one in California.
Awesome. So in terms of what exactly does Safety Culture do?
All right. So Safety Culture develops the world's most used mobile checklist inspection app, which is called iAuditor. And so our aim is to get safety and quality control into the hands of frontline workers. So with iAuditor, every worker has the tools that they need to perform inspections, audits, checklists, anywhere that they're at. And then that mobile application connects into the Safety Culture platform, which is what we run on the web, allowing companies to work in teams, sync their data into a central location. And we've really given them the opportunity to transform the way they look at their safety and quality control.
Do you have do you happen to have an example use case of somebody who might be using your product, or just a use case in general?
So it's because it's a checklist or form-based application, it's actually really wide-ranging in the ways that people can apply it. So we find people from a variety of different industries. We've got some really helpful case studies up on our website that kind of describe the types of people that have used it, but it includes things like construction, airports, hospitality, mining, and healthcare. One of Australia's largest supermarkets also uses it to do some quality control across their stores.
Sure. So you really cover all aspects of the grid then?
Yeah, it's amazing the way in which we've seen customers make use of it. So the mobile application, the ability to do a simple checklist can really transform what they're trying to do with it.
Yeah, awesome. Because this is a database type podcast, so you have to assume that I'm probably going to ask, what kind of database are you using?
So our primary database that we use is on the cloud-based software is Couchbase, and we use that as our main data store. But we also index the majority of that content in Elasticsearch. And then we've got a few other uses of other databases around there as well. And then on the mobile applications, we also use Couchbase Mobile as well as some of the other native platform storage.
Sure. So when it comes to storing this data inside of Safety Culture, what kind of data exactly are you storing?
The main use case that we have for our database is to store the actual documents that people produce from the iAuditor application. So what we have are called templates and audits. So the templates are the format of the questions and the items on the form, and the audit is an instance of someone taking that form and then going performing the checklist and recording their responses. So we have that and a public library of templates available, and the majority of our content consists of that.
So because you said you're using Couchbase, which is a document database, when you're storing this data in NoSQL, are you using more of an embedded approach to storing your data where all of your data exists inside of a single document where it makes sense? Or are you using more of a referred approach where you're still using relationships to different documents?
It depends on the type of data that we have. So for those main documents that we're talking about there with the content, that's a single document that contains an entire audit, including all of the template data that is associated with it. But then we have our other typical documents that you have in a SaaS, things like user information and organizations and subscriptions and so on, that are stored with relationships amongst each other, as well as the relationships to the documents themselves.
Sure. So I didn't ask, but when did Safety Culture come into existence exactly?
So it's an interesting story. The company has been around for, I think, around 11 years now, but originally started out in the safety document business, so helping people to produce content that was helpful in doing their inspections and so on. And it's really just 3 or 4 years ago that it turned into a software company where the CEO, Luke, identified the opportunity with so many people out in the field with their smartphones and devices, and to be able to actually take that out into the workforce and be able to use it on site and bring that data back in and save a lot of paperwork.
So the reason why I asked that, because I was wondering, when you guys first started becoming a software company, had you used NoSQL as your first choice, or were you using another database to start?
So we did start out with a NoSQL database. There was a different version used before we moved to Couchbase about 18 months ago, as we launched the next version of the platform. But that's something that always made sense for the content that was there. We really started from the mobile end and had the documents already in place. And then as we worked to build that up into the sharing and cloud-based environment, we brought that into the large database then.
So since you started with NoSQL, was there a reason why you guys decided to use NoSQL rather than a relational database?
For the type of content that's been used, it made a lot of sense. So these templates and audits are very flexible in the types of things that can be included. They also change based on the way people answer questions within the checklist itself. So it can expand out to additional items and change the data based on the responses given. And you need to be able to get some insight into all of the different aspects of that, but you don't have a necessary strict format for how that's going to be stored. So the opportunity to use a document database meant that we were able to very easily store that in a flexible manner in the same way that we had within the devices themselves, but then be able to get other ways of retrieving and querying that data in the cloud.
So having the flexible schemaless model definitely made a lot more sense to you for you guys rather than being constricted to the columns and tables that you would typically have in a relational database then.
Yes, that's right. And also, as the application has evolved quite quickly, it's given us the opportunity to expand on the data that gets stored within particular areas and continue to do that without having to do migration or anything like that.
Can you give me an example of the types of data that you've added since having first created the Safety Culture models?
Right. So with the documents themselves of the templates and audits that we use, we often add new types of items into those. So that gives a different type of response that someone might make, and then we would include that into the document as well. But we've also seen that use in things like user preferences in the main system. So where a user has a new option that they get to store or something associated with their organization, we can include that just as it gets populated.
Sure, that makes sense. So in terms of NoSQL, are you only using Couchbase as your NoSQL database, or are you mixing it up with other NoSQL databases as well?
So it's by far the most content is stored in Couchbase. That's our primary data store. As I said, we do use Elasticsearch to index a lot of that data as well. So we have one of the connectors ingesting that data into there. But we do have things like Amazon's DynamoDB in place for some other uses where it's made sense, as well as traditional RDBMS where it has also made sense.
Can you give me some examples on where you're actually using Amazon's DynamoDB and what relational database are you using?
Yep. So the DynamoDB use case is often around storing data at the REST level of our application. So things like caching information or tokens that are associated with a particular user, other types of small documents that need to be very flexible and can vary wildly in the number that we use. So we have a relational database in the stack for things like existing software products where we've been using it with our blogs, software, and other examples like that.
Sure. So I know that you personally use various programming languages like Java and JavaScript and Node, but what kind of programming languages are you using at Safety Culture?
So we have two different groups of technology. So we have the teams that are working on the mobile technology where they use the native platforms for iOS, Android, and Windows. And then we have our web-based platform. And for the website, we're primarily a JavaScript shop. So we use Node.js on the back end for most of our microservices, obviously JavaScript on the front end. And then we occasionally write some of our services in other languages like Python where it's needed.
And when it comes to interfacing with the NoSQL database, how do you feel like these languages are interfacing? Do you feel like they work really nicely in comparison to, say, the alternative when it comes to relational database? Would you say that they're both on the same playing field? Maybe you can give some insight into that stuff.
So there's a really natural fit with JavaScript-based development because a lot of the NoSQL content is going to be stored in JSON. And so you can very easily have the tools to work with that content. There's mature client libraries for the platforms that we're using and the databases that we're talking to, but there's also the opportunity to use it outside of not requiring a driver, for example, but just being able to do RESTful requests and get the data back and then manipulate it and put it back into the database again.
So just to be clear, the data that you're getting from the database and that you're manipulating in the code layer is pretty much the same in both areas, right?
Right. Yes, we're able to use that same JSON content across the mobile devices through to the platform, whether on the front end or the back end.
So you wouldn't have to do any kind of parsing of the data first and then manipulate it, then like reparse it back into some format before saving, right?
In most cases, no. There's some situations where we've used that so we can do some more native representations of them, for example. But in general, for the manipulation, we don't need to do that.
Sure. So earlier you mentioned that you're using Amazon's DynamoDB, which is a key value store, right? Are you hosting Safety Culture on Amazon's services, or can you tell me a little bit more about your solutions?
So we've been using Amazon's AWS for the last 12 months since we launched the latest version of the platform. And we've been hosting all of our services in EC2 and making use of other AWS technologies like S3 and DynamoDB to round out that platform as we've gone along.
Awesome. So when it comes to Amazon services, because say NoSQL databases like Couchbase are software, How well did it integrate with Amazon services? Was it easy to do? Is there a lot of work involved? Can you tell me a little bit more on that?
It's always a trade-off. So when you're using one of the existing services for a database, you get a lot of the value of that being hosted for free, but you also have the different trade-offs of the constraints around doing that. Whereas when we've installed something like Couchbase, we're able to easily get the right instance sizes that fit what we needed to be able to use to store it. And we've been able to adjust those very easily as our demands have grown over the last time, as we've increased the number of documents as well as the amount of traffic that's going through there. But then we still need to go through and do things like the backup side and integrating that with plugins to put content onto S3 and so on.
So how many documents do you figure that you're storing currently?
We have about 7 million items in our largest bucket, and so that's around 250 gig worth of data.
Wow. And how do you go about handling backups on that? Do you have, say, a cluster of NoSQL databases, or are you doing a different solution?
So we have the configuration is high availability, so we have a cluster of them providing the main storage. But then we also do our disaster recovery backups out of that, instead of storing it out into the cloud platform's native storage, as well as using the cross-data replication to be able to have a hot copy of the data available in case there's any need for that.
Sure, that makes sense. So in terms of safety culture, do you guys have a free tier in case people who are listening to this podcast want to go in and check it out, see what you guys are up to, and maybe they'll get ideas not only how to use NoSQL in their business, but maybe they'll want to use you as well? Or can you tell me a little bit more on that?
Yes, so the application that we have is free across all of the platforms, so people can use that on the device without any cost associated, and you can sign up for a free account on the Safety Culture platform, which allows you a certain amount of individual content and backup in the cloud for as long as you need to use it. And then as that grows into a larger amount of content or into a team environment, then that's where we offer plans to help people to do that.
Sure, and I'll include a link to the Safety Culture website in the show notes when this goes live. So anyone who wants to go ahead and check out that website can just read the show notes and get that link. I actually don't have any more questions for you. I do appreciate you taking the time to be on the NoSQL Database podcast.
It was great to speak to you. Appreciate the chance to talk.
All right. Thank you for being here, Brett. See you later.
I hope you found this particular episode useful, and hopefully it gave you some insight on how an actual company is using NoSQL within their structure. So, for example, Safety Culture, as Brett said, is using not only a key value NoSQL database, Amazon DynamoDB, they're also using Couchbase, which is a document NoSQL database. If you have any questions regarding this particular episode, please go ahead and send them to advocates@couchbase.com. When you do that, we'll either respond directly back to you through email, or we'll answer your question on a future podcast episode. If you're listening to this podcast through iTunes, it would be much appreciated if you logged in and left a 5-star rating and review. And that concludes episode number 2.